The opinions stated in this episode are the personal opinions of Kate and Maysoon as individuals and are not intended to be misconstrued as the opinions of their respective workplaces.
Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, Maysoon. Okay.
So much shit is going on.
Yes, and basically, we recorded a whole chunk about Lava Thomas last week, so right. Let's go to that. Okay, Maysoon, we have some controversy go on with the San Francisco Arts Commission with Lava Thomas. And
yeah, what do you know about it, Kate?
So basically, Lava Thomas put in a RFQ, or whatever you call it, to do a public sculpture to commemorate Maya Angelou. And it was part of kind of a move to have more equity in the public sculptures commemorating people.
Yes.
Because most of the public sculptures and statuary and whatever that are out there in San Francisco are to commemorate, like, white men, right?
True.
She basically got it, right? Lava Thomas.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, through some weird back alley dealings and who knows what or why or anything about it, all of a sudden they're like, never mind, Lava Thomas, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And there was a huge public hearing where people did public comment, including friend of the show Keisha Lucas, Angela Hennessy, and Indira Allegra, friend of the show. And Lava Thomas herself went to go speak out about
how Howard.
Fucked up and Mildred Howard.
I mean, from fucking heavy hitters. Holy shit.
Yeah. To speak out about what a fucking travesty this was, because especially you can look back at how the commission voted.
How the panelists voted.
Yes. The panelists, who the selection panel.
The selection panel.
Which included, like, Maya Angelou's grandson or somebody, son. Right? Her full-blown son.
Her full-blown son, Guy
and,
Johnson.
Anyhow, point is, and she won it, like, pretty much head and shoulders above everybody else.
I looked at the score sheet when they had the top three final, the three finalists, and Lava Thomas had, like, all ones, like, top.
So you would select, they were down to three finalists. You would put one if it was your first choice, two for second, three for third.
Right.
And she had a low score is a high score, but she had a much lower score, which was the highest score. Okay, everybody?
Yeah.
Basically, somebody, do we know who that was? Because there was an article, I'll link in the underworld to, there was
so many articles.
Yes. That
someone in the mix, what were you, finish your statement?
Well, pulled the plug on it because they wanted it to be like, so Lava's proposal was to basically do like a very large scale book with Maya Angelou's face on the cover of it.
Yeah.
And then like quotes and things from
on
her
the
text
back and on the, yeah.
In also depicted.
Yes.
And so whoever was the naysayer was like, oh, well, we wanted a fucking statue, like a motherfucker on a horse kind of statue.
Yeah. Maya Angelou on a fucking horse.
Would that be nuts? And so this, you know, but the point is the fucking request for artists to put in a proposal said some kind that it should be figurative, but not that it should be
a
straight up body.
That's correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a portrait is figurative. It shows a figure.
Right.
Go to fucking take a public ed class at SFAI or something, guys.
Yeah. I would say all of that is mostly accurate.
So I'm just like, I just think that's so fucked up that if your point is to have more equity and to have, like, you know, voices of, like, women of color and to have voices of black women and, you know, to have that foregrounded, and then to put an artist through all this bullshit is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I don't know all the details of, like, how far along she was in terms of, like, because she was notified that she got it, right? And then to just be like, oh, remember how you were going to do that, like, tens of thousands of dollars project? Well, go fuck yourself. That's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, Maysoon. Fix it.
Oh, don't put it on me. I think one thing to point out was that so there was legislation that was written to support this effort to bring more sculpture in that represented living women, right? Yeah. So there was a legislation that was written. Initially, it did say statue, and before the RFQ was put out, they edited or readjusted the language in the actual legislation. You can see the redacted crossed out statue and the word artwork written throughout the entire legislation.
Why do you think they did that?
Because they wanted to broaden what it could be, right? So but my point is that it was literally once in legislation and then was changed before the RFQ went out. So the fact that they then went back again after Lava was selected by the panel is wild to me. I'm like, wait, you guys didn't, I don't understand. Why did you change it? If that's what you actually wanted, like, why would we put artists through this?
Who's they? Cause who's the person who fucking pulled the plug here?
Well, so the sponsor is being represented the sponsor is basically District 2 supervisor, Stefani.
And so they were like, I wanted a statue.
I don't know if only, I think basically her predecessor, the District 2 supervisor before her is the one who wrote the legislation. And so she's kind of picking up the pieces, or not the pieces, but she's picking up after that person. I don't remember what their name was. I don't know. I mean, it feels a little bit random to me that the D2 supervisor would have such a strong opinion on this, especially since they didn't actually author the legislation in the first place. They're just kind of picking up where their predecessor left off. So it feels suspicious. It feels like there's definitely more back deal kind of...
Backroom bullshit.
Backroom dealings happening.
With the mayor.
Certainly some pressure coming. And so you have to think about, like, who has enough power to pressure the supervisor, who has enough power to pressure all of the arts commissioners, right? Like who are the people that are making the actual decisions, and who has enough power to pressure them to make them fear for their position to some degree, right?
It just really sucks that they just didn't say right in the beginning, we want a statue.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And like, okay, like, right, I mean, you want a bunch of statues. Cool. Do it the next time. Like, let the artist who you've already told got the commission do the fucking commission.
Yeah, it's so true.
I just can't believe that.
That part really kills me. I'm like, you have new legislation. This obviously won't be the first or last, or this is the first but not the last sculpture or, sorry, artwork to go out in public dedicated to a living woman. Why not just say this is like your learning curve? Like, we're going to do this sculpture, but next time we now know we really want a statue. But like I don't know, it just feels so
and
wrong.
And not just that, but then they'd see it and they'd understand that it was a good choice.
The thing that kills me is that I took some time off. I went to the VAC meeting, the Visual Arts Committee meeting, which is a subcommittee of the larger Arts Commission. I went to that meeting and I came in right as they were doing public comment, and I missed. So the supervisor Stefani, the person who's kind of what we call the sponsor in the written text, she made some statement about wanting it to be a statue, wanting it to be represented, wanting the statue to be just like, you know, the statues of men that have like adorned cities all over the country, whatever, which
not realizing any of the problematic shit with that.
And then the thing that really kind of pained me pretty intensely, not that this is about me, but that supervisor like made her strong statement and left. She didn't stay for any second of the public comment after that. So she missed hearing from Mildred Howard. She missed hearing from Lava Thomas. She missed hearing from Indira and Keija and Angela, all these incredibly powerful, very fucking smart women who talked about why they chose Lava. Like Indira and Angela were both on the panel, the selection panel. And so they talked very frankly about why they chose Lava, what it meant, that it was subversive, quietly subversive. It was super important. They talked about Maya Angelou and how it was significant for in regards to her.
Mildred Howard, please.
First of all, I'd like to just say that I've been on all sides of this process, and I'm so disappointed by what's happened and today and the mayhem that's gone on behind the Maya Angelou sculpture. I was born in San Francisco in the Western Addition, but I was raised in Berkeley. Half my family lived in that community. My second oldest sister went to school with Maya at Girls High, which was then, which has now been Franklin. And my godmother, Ruth Beckford, who is one of the founders of African American Dance, was her best friend. And I know what artists do to when they're applying for something. It's a lot of work. And when they receive it, on both parts, it's a lot of work and a lot of back and forth. And when they receive something, they're really excited about it. But to receive something, have it taken back, and then start all over, it makes one less interested in participating in the process because it seems to be as though there were other reasons. It may not be, but that's what it appears to be. And I just want to say that I am extremely disappointed and upset by what has happened. Thank you.
Indira Allegra.
In a 1973 interview, Bill Moyers asks Dr. Angelou what price she's paid for her freedom. The freedom to work, travel, and live in such a broad and diverse way. She receives the question as a gust of wind, inhaling sharply to the back of her chair. Her eyes shut. Her lash line becomes a private horizon through which another vulnerability rises as a bronze planet. The vertical opening between her teeth is magnanimous. When the horizontal and the vertical planes cross, the presence of something holy feels near. You are only free when you realize you belong no place, belong every place, belong no place at all. It is from this interview that Lava Thomas has chosen to render an image of Dr. Maya Angelou's human interiority. Representations of Black interiority and Black female interiority are rare. So rare that the world needed her wisdom and the wisdom of other writers like her to believe it to be real. That Black women and girls can be vulnerable is an understanding which is still, even now, dawning on society at large. Beyond the stereotypes which are projected onto the dark surfaces of our skin, there is a tome filled with pages of prayers, private desires, and questions for humanity at large. It is for this reason that I, selected for the initial selection committee for my professional experience working as an artist, feel that Lava Thomas's bronze book is the memorial for Dr. Angelou that the world needs from San Francisco. With all due respect to Mr. Guy Johnson, the memorial which a son needs for the loss of his mother is different from what the world needs for the loss of a creative moral guide. I've been thinking about this for the past 12 years, investigating themes of memorial through writing, performance, sculpture, and installation. I'm deeply committed to reimagining what a memorial can be, the scale on which it can exist, and how it can function. In my practice, I also work privately with individuals and families on determining the kinds of memorials which would work best for the unique losses in their lives. It makes deep sense to me that there would be a comfort for him in seeing his mother cast in her entire body, in stone or bronze. We want the bodies of our loved ones near us. It is for this reason I believe we must be diligent, respecting and honoring artists when they are alive. Especially Black women who live at a unique intersection of social responsibility and social vulnerability, which Dr. Angelou references in that 1973 interview. Lava Thomas needs this respect from us today. She needed this respect from us yesterday, and she needs this respect from us moving forward. She was selected fairly through a public process for a public work with the parameters given to all applicants who applied. The presence of her work does not foreclose the presence of other private memorials through other private processes. Dr. Angelou is a multifaceted person, and like the books she has written, we know that there could never be one singular way of interpreting her legacy. That Maya was able to enjoy such acclaim while she was alive is deeply inspiring to me because it signals a society is capable of valuing the life of an artist as much, if not more, than their work. My heart is broken today that the emotional labor, time, research, expertise, professionalism, and commitment that Lava Thomas brought to this project was not valued. I am disappointed that the time and expertise of the selection committee was not valued. The professionalism with which Lava and the committee members approached this process was not reciprocated. It is another stain on how the Bay Area treats its own artists. You are only free when you realize you belong no place, belong every place, belong no place at all. Lava, perhaps it is that we belong no place at all, but in that placelessness, know that there are other artists with you. To our freedom.
Lava Thomas.
I had a statement prepared, but I won't be reading from it. I want to thank you, Indira, for that beautiful, resonant, and powerful, for your powerful words. We were all there in that room when I made my presentation. The time that I spent researching, living with, reliving Dr. Maya Angelou's life, her works, I poured all of that into the monument that I designed. It has been a horrific 2 months. On August 9th, I was called and told that I won. I was elated and surprised. I had enormous respect for the other finalists going into this project, and the amount of support and goodwill that we all shared with each other was wonderful. Everything about this project until that day was amazing. I'd never in my professional career participated in a project where finalists were respectful, competitive, yes, but in the most wonderful and supportive way. 2 weeks later, I received a call telling me that the sponsors preferred a more figurative, traditional statue. That was not the design brief that we were given. In the ordinance, statue is crossed out and artwork is replaced. And as was mentioned earlier, the opposite of figurative is not portraiture, it's abstraction. I can't believe that we're here 2 months later with the suggestion that this project be closed and that a conservative, traditional statue in the manner of European figurative traditional monuments that Confederate and colonial monuments are based on, that we are here discussing this in this city, San Francisco, that's known for its progressive politics, that's known for being progressive in every way. Come on, people. It's been a waste of my time. I've been so disregarded and disrespected throughout these whole 2 months trying to gain clarity and get information. I've been stonewalled at every count. Who would want to participate in this? This was my first public artwork that I applied to. In fact, I didn't apply during the open call. I was invited, thinking that my work and my vision would be valued. And then to be treated like this, I'm sorry, San Francisco, you don't deserve me.
Thank you.
you know, and then everyone, of course, talked about like the integrity of the process and how that's gone to the wayside, and that meant, you know, artists are going to like rethink whether or not they want to apply for any kind of project or whatever with the Arts Commission now. And that's really, it really bums me out that the people who are making the decisions didn't get to hear that. Because I feel like maybe their mind would have been changed. Maybe that's me being naive, I'm sure. But it was very compelling. I mean, really incredible public comment. And I can, we can put a link in the Underworld to the audio for that.
I could play some
meeting.
Of it.
Yeah.
Maysoon.
The other thing is, like, to be honest, I mean, I'm pretty worried about what that means for the whole Arts Commission as an agency, not just public art, right? Like, how is my program going to be impacted by this? Like, who am I not going to be able to work with because they don't trust us to actually stand up and support artists when they...
Yeah, I mean, why couldn't the Arts Commission or just that committee or whoever who is part of the Arts Commission,
yeah,
not just say, like, sorry, this is what we're doing, we decided already.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it comes down to who's in power and who holds the power in that situation.
Who appoints the commissioners?
The mayor. Yeah, so, and I think sometimes, you know, the mayor will take recommendations about who should be a commissioner from, you know, from
other people on
or from
the commission,
like maybe people at the Arts Commission, maybe people who know, like, oh, this person really does a lot of great advocating for the arts, you should consider them. Like, I think maybe they get given a list of people to consider, then they choose, and sometimes they just know people.
Time. Okay, and now we're back in this week, and we're recording on November 6th.
Happy post-election to everyone, first off. Was it last year that we voted for mayor? And it was so close, and they counted votes for a week. And I think it was like, I think Leno was winning, was ahead of Breed, and then Breed kind of slowly inched ahead, and then she ended up winning, not by very many votes. But I'm a little like, it stresses me out when like there's a whole week that goes by after the election, and I just imagine people in the basement of City Hall. I'm just like, what's
going on? You think they're fucking around down there?
I don't know. Yesterday, I literally was like, I wonder how I can get in to like help count votes next year. I get worried that like there's shady business happening in City Hall. Duh. Because there is already shady business.
Were they tampering with votes, Mason?
Well, I don't know. I just don't
Mason,
know.
Mason, we can't diminish people's belief in democracy.
I still think everyone should vote.
I mean, if nothing else, we've learned that actually you really must vote because just a few votes can determine the outcome.
It's true.
And
it's
tell
true.
Your people
this,
to vote.
This is the example of that right now. Like, we're talking about hundreds of votes. Hundreds of people.
Which is not
deciding.
Many people. Not many people.
Not many people.
I just want to say, now that this 2019 election is over, eyes on the prize
eyes
for
on the prize.
2020.
2020 all the way, people.
Let's go. Listen, if you own your home and you can leave it for a few months, I invite you to come with me to the Upper Midwest for 2020. I'm going August, September, October, November. If you need a place to stay, we can stay together. We can get a place together. I'm open, guys. Even if you're really annoying and you're going to like put your armpits in my face. I don't care. We're going to go.
Kate does not like that, but I think she would put up with it.
We're going to go canvas every day. We'll have communal living. We'll be eating lots of rice and beans.
So do you need to be a people person
instant,
to do this?
One of those instant pots. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I've got my sleeping bag. I got my bedroll.
Are you going to bring Wally with?
I've got my dog.
Oh, see, great. There's going to be an animal. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah. He's not always a joy, I think, for other people to live with. He's a joy to me.
No, he's a joy.
We could try to sleep on your pillow. So you will have a separate room, hopefully, depending on how many people come. Anyhow, point is, if you have a flexible living situation where you can leave for a few months, I'm talking to you retirees. Okay.
Sabbatical. If you're on sabbatical,
if you're
it's a
professor
great
on sabbatical. If you are a woofer and
oh, yeah.
You're already a pretty transient. Okay.
If you're a musician and on tour, you can stop by, right?
Well, yeah, sure. If you want to just canvas. Also, people, if you don't want to have to go all the way over to the Midwest because that's not a familiar place to you, I have roots there. Not everybody does.
Yeah.
How about Arizona, right next door?
Yeah.
They're a swing state.
Yep.
Colorado.
How about Nevada? Is Nevada swing?
No.
No.
They're
clearly
hard
red.
Democrat.
Oh,
They're Democrats.
No, yeah, super. Went for Clinton real
hardcore.
Big.
Okay, cool.
Arizona is the big one. Colorado, okay. Texas.
Do we know how many electoral votes there are in those states?
Texas has a shit ton. Texas, I think they're second after California.
Okay. How about parts of California? Probably SoCal we need to get on a little bit.
Well, I mean, ahead and look into what, like, smaller elections, if there are, like, places where you're going to affect the state legislature. But, you know, you could go for the primary. The primary is on March 3rd. So you could go canvass for whoever you think will be the best nominee for president. That's what you could do in California, I think. That's the most pressing.
Okay.
And since the show has endorsed Bernie Sanders, yes, you can get in contact with your local chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. I know the East Bay DSA is super active, and I'm sure the SF DSA is as well.
I haven't gotten in touch with them yet, though. I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
I'm just, I don't know. I feel like there's so much going on in this country and in the world.
bad things, you
kind
mean.
Of. I don't know. I feel I'm in like a dismal area of the world.
No, Maysu, why? the Virginia legislature.
I voted. I did my duty regardless. I will always do my duty.
I know,
duty
no, of course. But I'm saying, like, after last night, I'm stoked.
You're pumped.
Virginia legislature flipped blue for the first time in 25 years.
Yeah.
The governor of Kentucky is a Democrat. So the results were very heartening, you know?
I think I'm too, like, I'm a little bit embroiled in local stuff, and I need to, like...
Local, but what about all the props we wanted passed?
I need to expand my horizons.
But Maysoon, all our props passed, but not the dual one, which is what we wanted.
Yeah, so that's amazing. That's the first time ever. Yeah. Actually, where everything I voted for, measure-wise.
Huge, overwhelming support for affordable housing bonds.
Yeah.
Bonds, which I figured out.
Hey, tell us about the bonds. What the hell is a bond?
Well, so if you listen to the last episode, I piped in a lady who was telling you about bonds, but she's talking about it from the other side. As an investor, as an individual, you can buy municipal bonds as an investment, and you get a return and maybe also some kind of tax credit or tax.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's basically, this is what I think it is, okay? It's basically the city is like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to allow people to invest in our city by selling them bonds. So I think when you're voting to raise a bond, you're saying, okay, city, we are going to give you permission
to sell some bonds,
to basically ask people for money by selling them bonds, which they then later can cash in with interest. I figured it out.
But how do you make money if you're making money for other people?
How does the city make money
pay
back?
Well, if you need the money to build physical objects that take actual money, it's not just fake money, right?
People are paying real money to buy the bonds.
Right, so how does that person who put real money in actually make money? Because you would put money in so that you invest in bonds so you make money.
I think there's a time limit on it. It's like so you say, I'm going to buy this bond. It's a 5-year thing. And then after 5 years, I get this much money back.
Okay.
Am I wrong? Probably.
I think we need to get is this an economist kind
of
question?
There's like a 10-year T-note.
Who would have answers? What kind of profession?
Anybody who works in like the more core city government.
Like someone who's
like
in finance?
Like a supervisor. Jane Kim would know. Get her in here.
Okay. I'll reach out to her.
Okay, Maysoon, what is up? What is the Simone Lee debacle?
Okay, so the Simone Lee debacle is such. There is a sculpture in Central Park, New York, that's in Manhattan, people, that is called a monument to J. Marion Sims, okay? What I've read is that Marion Sims was a 19th century doctor who made gynecological advances by experimenting on enslaved black women.
Ooh, no.
Right? So the community, rightfully so, and the city, I'm sure, has been like, we need to take this fucking sculpture down.
Sounds good to
me. And replace it with something that's more empowering for black women and black people in general, right?
Jesus Christ.
Which seems like real, yeah, for sure. Time to get going on that one.
Okay, what fucking scumbags came out of the woodwork to stop that from happening?
Well, no. People wanted the sculpture removed. So what happened was, like a regular sort of process, which public art gets made, right? There, people send in proposals. So it sounds like, so there were four finalists to replacing the sculpture. Okay.
So nobody was like, oh no, we must keep our horrible torture sculpture.
I don't know
sculpture.
About that. Oh, I haven't okay. heard that part. That's not the part I'm currently reporting on.
I wish
I'm
people
sure,
could see your hand.
I'm sure there was some asshole out there who was like, but what about history? We can't erase history. It's fact.
Go tell
we
it to the librarians.
We must have a fucking monument telling us about how people, you know what I mean? Like, fuck you. Let's not even get into it.
Okay.
Honestly,
okay.
please.
Yep. I know. Mason's getting fired up. Okay.
Okay. So they,
so they were going to get an artist to make something to
yes,
replace.
To,
okay.
To put in that place instead of that bullshit. Right. right. So they had, their four finalists were Simone Lee, Wangechi Mutu, Kehinde Wiley, and Vinnie Bagwell.
Kehinde Wiley just did a public piece. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
There's a panel process in which Simone Lee wins. Four votes are for her, three are not, are against, right? Or whatever. So she wins by a majority. It's very basic math. It's, it's a common process that's used throughout the country, throughout the nation, throughout probably the world. So there was a community meeting where the vote was announced, and people who were there were up, they were in a tizzy. They were screaming and yelling and fighting and yelling at the people that were running the meeting. It was insane. I was like, if I were running that meeting, I probably would have like run out the door crying.
Wait,
was
there
so
video
intense.
Of this?
Some intense video online. And so I guess the critique is that the,
why were they freaking out?
They were freaking out because they didn't like the piece. And they wanted this other piece.
Wait, can you describe the piece?
You know, I can't because there's no description, and the image that I have is really non-descriptive. No, I'm serious.
Was it a statue of Satan?
I mean, you have to edit this out.
That just looks like trees.
Right. But on the other side of the trees, there's a statue in Simone Lee's style. So it's like, I think it's like a reposed woman, I imagine.
So what we're seeing here is like a grassy area with several trees. It's winter, so there are no leaves on the trees. And then you kind of can see the silhouette of a figurative form.
Yes.
Kind of looks like within a square hedge.
Yeah, it does look like that.
Is the hedge a part of the piece?
I really honestly don't know. I'm sorry.
So people were just like, fuck this, don't want one single thing to do with it.
Yeah.
And like, not just that, but that there was like a huge, the vote itself was contentious. And then the culture commissioner, that's an interesting title.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the director of the New York Commission. So it's like the Tom Decaney of New York.
And his name's also Tom.
Tom Finkelpearl. Yeah. He's been in public art forever.
Well, I mean, maybe this shouldn't be decided by a panel.
Maybe Arts Commission shouldn't exist.
I mean, maybe the role of the Arts Commission or like a selection panel.
But in these situations, I don't know about the New York situation. I know for sure in,
'cause this one just seems like SF. It actually was the people that had a problem with it. You know, not like some weird back alley, back room bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would question that.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't know. We're not in New York.
Right. We're not in New York, so we don't have the full story.
Yeah. I got to say, though, this image is not very compelling.
I guess what I think is interesting is that it's another situation where the people who are somehow controlling the strings are leaning towards wanting a more, like, figurative...
A traditional
Traditional
thing. Something
bronze
that's immediately
figurative sculpture
legible.
Of someone, right? Yeah. Versus something that's like, I think in both Simone Lee and Lava Thomas, there's still it's still figurative. It's just not in that traditional.
Yeah, I really like Lava Thomas's idea.
But I think it's
Well, maybe the failing then may soon. Aside from whatever weird bullshit went on with undercutting the selection panel, but also just that people don't have an arts education.
Right.
To be able to understand beyond the traditional statue.
Right.
And that's much earlier in the pipeline problem. A more structural
problem.
Well,
that's like education.
Yeah.
From like...
Baby.
From when you're
from
in grade
school.
From
a little baby.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just
But I got, we all though have seen some ugly ass statues.
Yes.
There's the one of Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
I think in
Ireland, Dublin probably.
No, maybe in Paris or somewhere.
Oh God. Is he just like standing with a walking
cane?
No,
he's like on a funny couch or something. He looks, lounge. His face looks terrible.
His face is not,
I'll put a link good in the underworld.
Of his face. Didn't look like him at all.
Somebody, it looks like, remember when that lady tried to fix that Jesus mural? It's like that.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, it's not that bad.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Anyhow, it's just interesting because it's like, this is where my mood is coming from. Like, I've been obsessively thinking about what's been going on with Lava Thomas or with that whole process at the Arts Commission. And yeah, it's been depressing.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Especially for somebody who works there. Yeah. I've talked to other people who work at the commission that said I won't name any names, but they thought about quitting.
Yeah.
Because they were so upset.
It's really disconcerting. I mean, I wasn't even in, I'm not involved in the way the public art team is involved, right? Obviously. But it's really disconcerting when you do your job well and you have panelists who really have so much, they put so much work into being on a panel. They really care. You have artists who do the same. And it's like, and it all goes to shit. It's just kind of like, what is the point? What's the point of an arts commission? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we actually doing?
Yeah.
If it can all just disappear in any moment. Like, there's, I don't know. I feel like there are fundamental questions to ask about what our role is in some ways.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so it's interesting to me that the Simone Lee work is a very similar and yet also different, because in our situation there was probably one person who the decision was coming from.
Yeah.
In this case it seemed like it maybe was more community driven, but you just never know. You never know when it's like sort of city run or if, you know, local government involved.
Yeah. Okay, couple other quick things of the of institutions behaving badly. You got the Marciano Art Foundation laid off all their employees who were trying to unionize.
Isn't that crazy?
Union busting.
The moment they heard, they found out, they fired everyone.
Yeah.
I guess it's the people that run Guess.
I hate to say it, Maysoon, you know,
Guess jeans.
Back in the day, Emma Goldman was running an ice cream shop. Sure enough, they saw that the workers, Henry Clay Frick's workers at his Coke plant or whatever in Pennsylvania, or was it New York? Anyhow, long story short, Henry Clay Frick was doing union busting back in the day, and sure enough, they tried to assassinate the shit out of him. So, whoa, union busters, watch out.
Watch out, you might get assassinated.
Not really, that is not a credible threat. This is a parody, satire, and art project.
Well, you're getting assassinated via social media, that's for sure. People are not having it.
I'd online. Also just like to put it out there that I am on the contract bargaining committee of our union, our adjunct union at SFAI, which is the SEIU 1021.
Hey, me too.
If you are an adjunct at SFAI, please fill out our contract bargaining survey. I'll put a link in the underworld. Well, Maysoon, if anybody else wants to weigh in on that, they can give us a call. 419-351-6606. You can also text that number. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. But you should not be sending that email while you're driving from the bridge
to the pineapple
to the other in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.